Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
Wishing all of our listeners a very happy new year. We're so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are getting set to recap and talk some Sooner football. There's certainly this season we had several ups and downs, but Oklahoma, we know them well. They continue to work hard in their quest for the school's eighth national title. Our source for Sooner football is the senior writer with OU Insider. You can also listen to him in Norman, Oklahoma, or online, 1400 AM KREF. And Boomer Sooner to you, James Hale, it's great to have you on. Are you ready for a brand new year? I certainly am.
Well, hey, Boomer Sooner to you, too. And, I guess, the years kind of run together. I'd like for them to slow down a little bit. When you get my age, you're not beautiful like you anymore. You're so pretty. You look like you're 20. But the rest of us, we age like we're supposed to. And now that I've got a three-year-old granddaughter that I'm chasing around, my goal is to be able to sprint when she's sprinting. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Eventually, she'll play soccer and softball and basketball and all those things. And I want to be able to be out there with her. So, that's my goal.
Well, I tell you what, it's kind of hard for me to say Grandpa Hale, or do you have like a cool hip name?
It's J-Paul, man.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, you got to take the name, the J with the James, and J-Paul.
Did your daughter Maddie come up with that?
No, I came up with it. I didn't want to be called, Grandpa's cool with a lot of people. I mean, but, my grandparents were Nana and Papa. So I never called them Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
So it's not really the Hale thing to do. So we come up with something else.
Okay, well, let's move ahead. Let's talk about Oklahoma. And, we're going to do a recap on the season. But what about recruiting? You're always up to date on that. How are things shaping up? And who will be some of the new additions that we will see in 2012?
Oh, gosh. They're recruiting really, really well. And they're in on, four of the top 12 players in the country still that are still out there, out there trying to make a decision. OU's had several players leave, about a half a dozen up to this point, that were on the, bottom of the roster, guys that just didn't want to put in the time and be patient and work their way up the depth chart. In today's time, what happens, Z, is that these recruits get so much publicity coming out of high school that, I guess they feel like they're entitled to play or they should play right away. And, sometimes, then you find out you're at a great school like Oklahoma and, there's other good players. Oh, my gosh, they were recruited just like I was. And, oh, gosh, they had more stars than I did. Boy, they were really, really good. And you realize that, it's whoever puts the work in, who performs in practice and takes that practice, to the field. I'm not trying to sound like a coach here, but it's interesting because, in recruiting, OU now has more scholarships to offer this year than they did. And it's going to be interesting to see as they continue to go back out and reevaluate certain players and do things who they eventually offer. Right now, they've got a top 10 class just with the players that are committed right now. Deron Neal's the play, player of the year out of St. Louis. Sterling Shepard is one of the great players out of the state of Oklahoma. Alex Ross, is an Under Armour, All-American, out of Jinx, Oklahoma. Kevin Peterson was just named the class 4A player of the year out of state champion Watonga the other day. Those players are outstanding. Their offensive line class is very, very good right now. Ty Darlington is a Army All-American out of Apopka, Florida, who's committed to Oklahoma. Eric Stryker was just named Sports Illustrated first-team All-American. He just led his team out of Florida to a state championship in Florida and, again, set a sack record in the state of Florida. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. So, just that class right there, Trevor Knight at quarterback, who is coming out of San Antonio, a really good player. And then the Sooners just got a verbal commitment out of Kevin Everett, a cornerback out of Pierce Community College. And that was a big-time commitment for them because Jamel Fleming will take his talents to the first round of the National Football League this year. And Oklahoma has a wide-open spot at corner. And there they add some depth to that position, and that was really important in what they're doing. The Sooner wide receiver class is going to be wiped out because the two seniors graduate, and Austin Haywood has basically been kicked off the team. So nobody's left. And so, Baron Green is coming out of Fort Scott Community College, and he'll step right into a situation that he's no worse than a co-starter as he enrolls in spring. Chaz Nelson is a first-team junior college All-American defensive end who will really help out next year as Ronnell Lewis has decided to go pro, and he's academically ineligible for the was academically ineligible for the bowl game. And, of course, Frank Alexander graduates, too. David King will be a senior next year. So there's some of those players are going to step in and play a lot, you know, with Ryan Broyles injured, but, you know, now going to the National Football League. Dewan Miller leaves at receiver. You know, hey, Sterling Shepard, Deron Neal, Derek Woods out of California. Those guys could really play a big role in the receiving corps. And OU's still very much in the race for DGB. Nelson Aguilar out of Florida. Diggs out of Florida. I mean, they're still in on some tremendous players and a couple of JUCOs, too, that are lighting up everybody. So they're still recruiting this next month. It won't be like the old days where we were sitting on the edge of our on the edge of our seats because there were so many players that were still in play. But this year there'll be more players that we're still covering in January before signing day than in most years.
You're listening to the voice of senior writer of OU Insider, James Hale, and I am curious, you mentioned some of the JUCO players coming on board. Is this more of a new approach we're seeing from Bob Stoops that these guys can step in and be immediate difference makers?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a new approach because they've recruited JUCOs before. You know, but everybody's talking like it is, but everybody's forgetting about, you know, Posse Jackson, Lance Mitchell, and, you know, some of the great Remy Iadole, who's played in the National Football League now, you know, for 6 or 7 years, was on the Saints Super Bowl team. The Sooners have always recruited junior college players. I think some have worked out, you know, better than others, but okay, they've always recruited several. They've got a couple, you know, coming in, and I guess because we're talking about them and they're having an immediate impact, you know, I think everybody says, well, this is a new deal, but in reality it's not, but it's the latest, and, you know, that's how we are in this society today. What's the latest thing going for me? And outside of you looking, you know, tremendous and like you're 18 again, you know, the other factor is, did they recruit guys, junior colleges early? Heck, his first two or three teams always had five or six JUCOs on it.
James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. This interview is being powered by Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. And James, I know you've had a chance to kind of exhale and just take in and absorb the 2011 season. How would you define this as far as, you know, a lot of people talking about that they underachieved?
Well, they underachieved, though, because they didn't win a championship and they didn't win a Big 12, and that's what they were predicted to do. They were the number one team in the country. They accepted that. They even talked about it. And I'm okay with that. You know, I believe Oklahoma should always talk about it. What's different than when Barry Switzer was coaching when he said, hey, every year we're a contender to win the conference and national championship? Why is that different for Bob? You know, I think that's okay. Now, he gets criticized for it because that's the way society is today. Oh, my gosh, he actually had the gall to say he was going to go win a national title? Man, if he doesn't say that, if he goes to that Sooner caravan and says, guys, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to be 9-3 this year. They're going to run him out of the room. you know, that's not how it is at Oklahoma. They're going, who the heck are you coaching? You're not coaching OU. You know, so that's what he's got to think. But the year was a disappointment because of how they lost games. You know, Edie realized in the loss against Texas Tech, they ended up with six guys out of the game. Then in a weird game, you know, it's pouring rain, half the stands are gone, they're playing at 9:30 at night. I mean, it was like, it was a movie. It was an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You're watching this thing happen, and then, you know, Texas Tech's offense became, you know, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they were throwing the ball over the place. They had two jailback screens that, you know, they could have run for 522 yards. You know, then the Sooners still almost win that game. But they messed up in every single aspect of the game, including special teams. They make one field goal, they've got a chance to win this game. So they don't win it. You know, and then against Baylor, you know, Robert Griffin and Kendall Wright, they're still hooking up for touchdowns, and poor Javon Harris is still chasing them, you know, all across the country. I mean, it's just being replayed and replayed. And what they did, Oklahoma let one of the great players in the country stay in the game against them. And even though Oklahoma gallantly rallies in the fourth quarter and Oklahoma ties the game up late, you know, they let him beat him. And so but that was one position that kept screwing up. And Baylor had the intelligence and the ability to continue to exploit it, and Oklahoma couldn't take advantage of it. And then against OSU this year, you know, I know it pains Sooner fans to say this, but OSU's a little better. I mean, Oklahoma doesn't have Ryan Broyles. They didn't have Ron L. Lewis. I mean, that wasn't the same Oklahoma team at that point in the year. They didn't have Adam Shedd at guard. You know, it wasn't the same team that they had early in the year. They didn't have Austin Haywood, who was already kicked off the team.
Right.
They didn't have Dominique Whaley. You know, you just go down the list. And then Oklahoma turns it over four, five times in the game. You know, one of the problems with OUE this season was turnovers. Early in the year, they were really good at it. They didn't turn the ball over much. But especially after they lost Ryan, they turned the ball over a bunch. And that's something they really have to correct next year. So we'll see how it goes. So, yeah, they underachieved. Most teams would love being 9-3, but at Oklahoma, as you said it, it's considered a disappointing year.
Well, you know, there's just so much hype that was going into the, you know, the preseason, being the number one team in the country, just high expectations. And I know a lot of my listeners are wanting to know, James, what is the future of Landry Jones? I mean, is he staying or is he taking his game to the next level? He's a redshirt junior, correct?
Yes, he is. And right now he doesn't know. You know, he says he's going to take all the time up until the 15th. That doesn't mean he will. But what he's telling us is don't rush him. He wants to think it through. If you'd have asked me this question, you probably did. I don't remember. But if you, at the first of the year, I would have told you he's leaving. First of the year, that was the game plan. It's a very close family that Landry was a part of. And they're very much a part of his career. He's very much part of the family. I mean, they have kind of laid out a game plan. And it's not Todd Marinovich or anything. You know, they kind of laid out. I just saw that feature, and I was going, people are going to think it's another Todd Marinovich. No, I mean, but, you know, they've always had a game plan. They took him to all the camps. You know, he was a star at his high school in New Mexico. He's well-grounded, you know, but they've always had kind of a game plan. And after the fourth year, he was going to take his talents to the NFL if he had had a chance to start for at least 2 years at OU. Well, he's basically started for three. And so at the beginning of the year, I know that was kind of the game plan. They were going to go to the NFL. But like all kids, he loves being at OU. He's got his teammates, and everybody's tugging at him. And he didn't finish the year on the note that he wanted to finish it on. And he's had a really good year. He's still projected as the number two quarterback in the draft. That's not what the guys at ESPN are saying, but that's what the NFL is telling Landry. So everything out there for the NFL is still there, except, you know, he can't be a senior at OU. His fiance is going to be at OU one more year. Whitney Hand, who's the star of the OU women's basketball team. His buddies are still going to be at OU. He gets to hang around his parents. He's got 12 hours to graduate, so he get to actually walk across that stage instead of just getting a diploma in the mail. I mean, there's a lot of things that tugs at Landry because while he loves football and he's big in football, it's not the end-all of the end-all. Remember, his goal is to have his own church and be a preacher. Well, you know, his dad's telling him, okay, you go to the National Football League, son, you can build your own church, and then you can build your own congregation. I mean, they know what the goals are, but they also know that, hey, if he comes back, he'll have another great year to work with Josh Heupel, and they're okay with him coming back, too. He's just got to pull the trigger, and I think as you and I talk right now, he's leaning towards coming back. But it's not 100% sure.
Landry Jones, truly such a special young man. It'd be great to have him in Norman one more year. James, I have to ask you, you have evaluated so much talent throughout the years. Do you think he needs to stay another year?
Not necessarily. You know, we nitpick and we break down these guys and we think we know all about it and everything. I mean, the NFL still believes he's the number two quarterback coming in the draft. They know a heck of a lot more than James Hale knows.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's ahead of Robert Griffin III and whoever else. Now, Barclay coming back, everybody, you know, is asking me, hey, you know, will this influence his decision? I don't think any of that stuff influences his decision. You know, I really think he's very confident in his own skin. I think he's very confident in what he does and how he does it. And while I think he would benefit from coming back, I don't think he necessarily has to. You know, a guy with Landry's skills, very few quarterbacks on the college level can throw from the left hash mark an 18-yard out route across and throw it with so much velocity and on target where a corner can't react to it.
Wow.
Against OSU, even though Landry didn't have a good game against OSU because of the turnovers, he made some throws that had people that really know football going, holy smokes, wow, because very few guys can make that throw. So he's got some intangibles that not everybody has. But sure, he would benefit working another year. But if he left, he'd hire a quarterback coach, and there's three or four guys out there. I know they've already talked to Drew Brees' quarterback coach and a couple of other guys that if he does come out, and see, his skills are going to accelerate because all he's going to do is work on being a quarterback. So I think that he could benefit from coming back. But I also think his skills will accelerate because he'll get with the right people if he goes to the National Football League.
James, you highlight his skill set, you know, what he can do. What about discipline-wise? Is he a pretty disciplined guy?
He's very disciplined, and he's a better leader than people think. I hear all the time that he's not a great leader, and I don't know where people are getting at or what they're seeing through their binoculars or what they're watching. I mean, Landry is a very religious young man, but, you know, when he's on the football field, he's a fiery competitor, but he's cool and calm like most quarterbacks are. I was on the sideline the Baylor game when you know, they had the penalty. Remember when they were going for two out of the bulldozer formation?
Yes.
And they had the penalty, so Coach Stoops had to let up, you know, say, hey, let's just kick it, we'll play defense and hold them. It was Landry that was going over to the defensive guys, not Brent Venables, not everybody else, imploring his defense to hold him one more time, that they would win it in overtime. He promised them he'd score touchdowns in overtime. I guarantee we will. I'm listening to him, and I'm going, boy, this didn't sound like a guy that's not leading. Now, the defense didn't happen. Robert Griffin turned out to be better on that day, and they won it, but it wasn't because Landry Jones wasn't a good leader. So, the biggest knock against Landry, he's not real mobile. It's not that he's not athletic. He's very athletic. You know, if he worked at it, he could put himself in a position to be a pro golfer. He could have gone pro baseball. He, you know, was a 14-point-per-game basketball guy. He's a skier. He grew up in New Mexico. He's an accomplished skier. There's a lot of things that he does that are – he's very athletic, but he's a 4.9 guy or whatever in the 40. I mean, that's just the way it is. And he's not the quickest dude, but he's athletic, and he handles himself in the pocket well. So if you're looking for things that he's not great at, well, there you go. He's not great at scrambling downfield, and he's not great. You know, if there's a 10-yard run out there for him, he's only going to get six.
Okay, James, one of the guys I want to turn our attention to and ask you about, we've really not gone into depth about him, but Blake Bell, I mean, he has kind of factored in to the quarterback position and getting some playing time. What do you think about him and his future at Oklahoma?
I think it's tremendous. The team loves Blake Bell. They believe in Blake Bell. You know, he's big. He's John Wayne out there. You know, there's a lot of things to like about Blake, and we haven't seen him throw the ball yet out of the bulldozer very well, but we have. We do know that he's thrown it very, very well at practice. He's got one of the strongest arms, if not the strongest arm on the team. There's a lot of positive things about him, and he's got a great future. Now, he's in a heck of a battle for the backup quarterback job with Drew Allen, who's the current backup, and with Kendall Thompson, who's a redshirt freshman on the team. And that's going to be a tremendous battle next year to see who either is the starter or who is the backup, depending on whether Landry comes back or not. This future is incredibly bright.
We have just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with James Hale, the senior writer at OU Insider. You can also listen to him online down here in Texas, 1400 KREF on Sports Talk. James, tell all of our listeners where they can go and get subscribed to OU Insider.
You just go to OUinsider.com, and there's at the top of the page, it will tell you how you can subscribe, and I promise you won't be disappointed. And one thing that's interesting about, you know, a website like ours is that it's a community. You know, you get people that come on, and you get to know them a little bit. Sometimes you get people you don't want to get to know. You know, it's kind of an interesting deal. And I'm waiting for you to come on and be the Big E and set us all straight.
Oh, James, hey, I love coming on your radio show talking NBA anytime. In fact, I got to encourage our listeners, you got to listen to James on the radio. I mean, it is some compelling radio, and you have great guests on there. Tell all of them what time they can dial in on the computer.
3 to 6 on Sports Talk 1400 KREF Radio. Our little station's growing all the time. We've added Dusty Dvorak and Teddy Lehman.
Did you? Okay, I didn't know that.
Fantastic Sooners that played a long time or played several years in the National Football League. You know, Teddy won the Butkus Award.
Okay.
As the best linebacker in the country, you know, his senior year. And Dusty, of course, is one of the most talented big men ever to play at OU. Started for 4 years at OU. And he and Tommy Harris, I don't know who would be, I guess the Selmans would be rated better than they were, but I think they would be right next to them as, you know, the best DT tandem in OU history. Now, nobody's better than the Selmans, but let's just say after the Selmans, you know, they might be the next best guys.
We do have Oklahoma State fans down here in Texas, and just talk to us. What a remarkable season for Mike Gundy. 11-1 Cowboys, they're in the Fiesta Bowl. And can you give us kind of your assessment about just their season and all the success that they had?
It was fantastic. Mike's done a great job with that program. What Mike has done, because they got great facilities, they rebuilt their facilities, and he's taken advantage of it. And Mike, you know, is kind of a hip coach, you know, doing the dancing in the locker room. He's got the haircut. He's got the shades. You know, so he's still living a young life, you know what I mean? And he's taking advantage of that. And they've improved their recruiting. They're going out and getting great skill position people, but improving their down lines, using the junior college to come up with defensive linemen and offensive linemen that really benefit them. And they've just done a great job. And hopefully they'll get this contract situation resolved. I don't really understand it, E. You would think that would be an easy contract. Now, Mike's wanting 10 years. I don't know why they wouldn't want Mike to have 10 years. He wants to stay there. He can leave there. And I don't know why they want to do this. They gave Travis Ford a 10-year contract. And if you're going to do that, and he hasn't really established anything yet at Oklahoma State except he can recruit, then you've got to give Gundy a 10-year contract if that's what he wants, right? I mean, you've got a coach that wants to stay there. Most of the time, every coach that comes there wants to leave. It's a stair-stepping job. That's not for Mike, and hopefully they'll resolve this situation soon.
Surprised are you at the hesitation, and are other schools approaching Coach Gundy? I mean, he's got some impressive credentials.
Well, supposedly A&M came after him before they hired Kevin Sumlin.
I heard that.
He wanted to see what his interest was, and Mike told him he wasn't interested. Well, now as people... And, you know, you got to understand the Gundys are a pretty emotional group. So, you know, you can always hear from somebody. It may be a distant uncle. It may be a distant cousin, a niece. Somebody out there is going to say something, you know, about it. And, you know, the word was is that he kind of regretted not at least getting into the play there at Texas A&M, you know, because he was loyal to them. And now they're kind of hesitating, tying him up to this contract. See, Mike Holder can play it off as a business standpoint and say, hey, this is the smart thing to do. Maybe we shouldn't tie him up for 10 years. But everybody's going, yeah, but you're tied up your basketball coach. And Mike Gundy's accomplished so much more than your basketball coach. And football drives the ship.
Right.
So why aren't you tying up your football coach who's proven he can win better than anybody else ever at Oklahoma State?
When we look at Oklahoma State, I mean, did you feel that they should have been in that national game?
Well, yeah, I did, and that's the way I would have voted for it. And I'm going to try to get on the – are you on the Harris poll?
No, I'm not.
Well, you and I, we need to try to become a part of it. So, you know, I mean, I just want people on it. You know, when you – I read one of the guys and said, well, I really don't pay any attention to college football. I'm going, how can you be a – I mean, why are you a voter?
Right.
But anyway, I mean, it's – I've already seen the LSU-Alabama game, see? They had a chance to play, and everybody says, well, you should vote who you think the top two teams are. Well, I'm not convinced Alabama's better than OSU. I'd like to see that game. I mean, if OSU played defensively against Alabama like they played against OU, and I know they haven't done that every game, well, Alabama's offense is not as good as OU's. I think Oklahoma State should be playing LSU, and that would have been a more entertaining game for all of us probably, and it would have been more fun. OSU deserved it. Everybody goes, well, they had a worse loss because Alabama lost to the number one team. Well, yeah, but it's a conference game, and I know, but the intangibles of OSU losing, you know, the basketball coaches passed away that day, and there was just a lot of crazy things, and they were ahead 24-7. They just didn't hold it. Congrats to Iowa State, but I think I would have voted it that way, and I think Oklahoma State, the way they handled Oklahoma, they didn't just beat OU, they hammered OU. That should have vaulted them into the national championship.
Well, James, I'll agree with you. I mean, that was so tough to watch, and they certainly made quite a statement, you know, against Oklahoma. But our time is wrapping up, and James, we look forward to talking to you some more in 2012 and giving us all the breakdown on OU and OSU. And, of course, perhaps we'll even talk some Thunder as well.
All right, Big E, look forward to it. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. We'll talk to you here real soon.